Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the Inner Life for this Friday, the Solemnity, the Feast of St. Joseph. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Have you ever asked for the intercession of St. Joseph? Do you have any sort of devotion to him? Has he helped you when you didn't know where else to turn? Well, he is a powerful intercessor. And one of the ways I experience this, my youngest son is actually named after him. He's named Joseph. He's not quite a year and a half old right now. And he's the youngest of our nine children, so all of his siblings absolutely dote on him. He's always being held or carried around or, you know, played with by one of his older siblings. He's also a little miracle in our life, and I'll explain why. About 2 years ago, when Belen, that's my wife, when she and I found out that she was pregnant again, we went through the normal routine. Belen probably knows her OB doctor as well or better than any other woman knows hers, and that's because he's been the doctor for six of our children. And he knows we're Catholic. He's very respectful of how we try to be open to life in our marriage. And so when she went in for her first appointment, he knew that we weren't interested in any of those initial testings or screenings that other parents might opt in for. He knew we would just welcome this baby into our family. And so the pregnancy progressed, and at the halfway point during the pregnancy, Belen went in for the usual midterm ultrasound. But the technician, the ultrasound technician, found something that raised a red flag, and the doctor talked with us and said it appeared that there was something wrong with the baby's stomach, with Joseph's stomach. And so he referred us to the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee, which was the closest one to where we live. And he said they have a better ultrasound machine that would give more detail in the images. It would help determine if this really was something that would need medical attention. So a month later, we drove to Milwaukee, and they did the ultrasound. And sure enough, there was a problem with Joseph's stomach. The condition, and I've heard it pronounced two different ways. I've heard it pronounced duodenal atresia and duodenal atresia. So if you're a doctor out there and I said it not the way you say it, I'm sorry. I've heard it both ways from different doctors. But duodenal atresia or duodenal atresia, basically it's where there's some sort of a blockage in the way that the stomach has developed in going from the stomach into the intestines. There's a blockage there. And it meant that our newborn baby would need surgery within the first couple of days because once that umbilical cord no longer is connected, and the baby would need to start eating, the food wouldn't be able to pass through his system. Now, Belen and I, we've been very blessed with our other children. None of them have any serious medical conditions that we've really had to deal with. So now we're at a point where we're holding surgical consults with doctors to prepare for what to expect right after the birth of Joseph. And in the ultrasound at the Children's Hospital, they also found other indicators that looked like Joseph may have trisomy 21. You might know this better as Down syndrome. And with Down syndrome, there can always be other health issues, so we are at this point where there's a lot to take in, and there's a lot to plan for with the pregnancy and the birth, and those first days and weeks after the birth. Now, Joseph's full name is Joseph John Fulton, so we were praying even before this, but at that point, we're praying to all three of his namesakes, asking for their intercession, you know, help us out with a miracle. And so there's St. Joseph, of course, there's the beloved apostle St. John, and there's Venerable Fulton Sheen. And they came through in a huge way for us, but not necessarily the way that we were expecting the prayer to be answered. So little Joseph, he was born 2 weeks prior to his due date, and they had told us that might be the case, that it's very common with Down syndrome for there to be a premature birth. that day when he was born, it was the evening of the Friday right after Thanksgiving. So our whole family had been home for Thanksgiving, and we were there for the weekend after. That Friday goes through, and that evening, my wife, Baylen, says, I'm starting to feel, you know, these little contractions. They're not going away. Maybe we should go in and check. And so we did. We drove over to the hospital, and it was honestly, and this is my wife, this is not me saying this, I've never gone through it, so it's her saying it was the easiest and fastest birth that she had ever experienced. And we had initially planned for our three older daughters to be there, and it happened so fast that they couldn't make it to the hospital in time to be there for the birth. And my wife said, I'm so glad they weren't here, because it would have set up all these false expectations of what birth really is like. So later that night, the kids are all able to come. They meet their little brother just briefly, and then the older siblings take them back home. Around 2 a.m., Joseph is transported then to the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee. And those doctors and nurses, the staff there, they are outstanding. I can't say enough good things about them. In conversations that we had, you could really tell that faith played a huge role in the work that they were doing there. So Joseph is transported down there in the early morning hours of that Saturday to await surgery. And, of course, we were praying that he wouldn't need the surgery. That's what we were hoping for. But our prayers were answered, like I say, in a different way. So then that Sunday morning, a little over 24 hours after his birth, the doctors say they're going to take him into surgery. And the normal surgery for this duodenal atresia would take about 3 to 4 hours. I was at home with our other children. My wife, Baylen, was there at the Children's Hospital. So she's sending me texts and updates. And right as soon as she said they're taking him into surgery, I had taken our kids to the Vigil Mass Saturday, the night before. So I was letting them sleep in. There was going to be snow that morning. And so I let them sleep in. And as soon as I got the text that he's going into surgery, I just said a rosary on my own right there. Just, you know, guide the surgeon's hands and be with little Joseph. Let everything go as smoothly as possible. So then after I'm done praying my rosary, I wake up our kids and I get them up. Okay, you know, put on some boots and a coat and a hat and let's go shovel the driveway and the sidewalk. We come inside, we make some hot chocolate, and I explain to them, the surgery's probably about halfway done at this point. And so we sit down with our hot chocolate, and we say we're going to pray another rosary as a family now at this point for Joseph in the midst of his surgery. And this was probably about an hour and a half into the surgery. We started to pray with the opening Apostles' Creed. Before we even finished the creed, that opening prayer, my phone dings, and Baylen has sent me a text that says Joseph is already out of surgery, less than half the expected time for that surgery. And so our rosary at that point that morning then becomes more a prayer of thanksgiving. But then we kept on praying over the next days and weeks, because the doctors had told us that the regular recovery time for this surgery, it was about 6 to 8 weeks. So we knew that Baylen might be there with Joseph for nearly up to 2 months, and we wouldn't be able to see Joseph until he was finally discharged. And keep in mind, this is right after Thanksgiving. It's coming up on Christmas. So we're trying to figure out, what does this mean for us for Christmas? How are we going to, you know, try and make Christmas fun and a celebration for the kids? But at the same time, you know, our family's kind of separated in this way. And so every day as Joseph is there in the hospital, I receive updates from Baylen on his progress. And it really, it's not just remarkable, it was miraculous. Every single day I'd get these updates. He's progressing faster. He's moving faster. And he was sent home after, I told you, it was supposed to be up to 2 months in the hospital. He was sent home after 2 weeks. And you might remember how I said he was born premature, 2 weeks. He came home from the hospital on his original due date. And then to go on top of this, in all of his follow-up appointments over the next several months, that miraculous progress, it continued. He was in the top fraction of the top 1% of children who undergo this type of surgery and repair. And I could go on and on with all kinds of other details of the events surrounding my son Joseph. But as I've had the time to go back and look at what happened there during all this time of prayer and how God worked, how our prayers were answered, it really did stick with me that God allowed everything to still take place, the course of events. There wasn't some instantaneous healing where we could skip the surgery, There was still the needed recovery time, even though it was much shorter than we expected. There was still the aftermath of the operation, all of the things that made this birth and those initial weeks and months there different from all of our other children. But it also drew our family closer together. We prayed maybe like we'd never prayed and been united in prayer before, and we could see God's hand working throughout every step along the way, especially when we looked back. And I think that's how God seems to work in our lives a lot of time. Those instantaneous miracles, if they do happen, they're amazing. But I think that most of the time, there are more benefits for our faith and our trust in God when we see his work in the ordinary progress of life. If we pay attention and we're looking for it, like I said, we can look back, we can see God working in our lives every step along the way in that hindsight. And today on the Feast of St. Joseph, we want to look at St. Joseph and how he can be that example for us of growing in holiness through the ordinary things that we experience in life. And so has St. Joseph been that example for you? Has he had an impact on how you want to live your life? Has he been a source of inspiration with his quiet leadership and protection of Mary and Jesus? How has St. Joseph helped you to know Jesus better? We're going to talk today with a very regular voice here on Relevant Radio, Father Matthew Spencer, a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph. He currently serves as the Provincial Superior and Shrine Director for the Oblates of St. Joseph out of Santa Cruz, California. Father Matthew, so glad to have you here to talk with us about St. Joseph today.
Thank you, Josh. What an honor to be with you. Happy feast day.
Yes. And so speaking of this, now we might get this out of the way right at the beginning of the show, because today is a solemnity and it's kind of a trifecta. And I'm sure your community is so excited about today because it's the day that's celebrated as the Solemnity of St. Joseph, in a month that's dedicated to St. Joseph, in a year that Pope Francis has declared as the year of St. Joseph. So you've got this triple threat of a feast day going on here. But my understanding is anytime that we have a solemnity, it's a day for celebration. It's not necessarily, we're not obliged to hold any penances or sacrifices. So this being a Friday in Lent, if we're celebrating this feast with our family, with our friends, we're not necessarily bound to abstain from meat. Is that correct?
That's correct, Josh. Asking the good questions. I know these are the ones that
it's on
people
everybody's
are thinking
mind.
About.
Yeah.
It is, absolutely, yeah. So the regulations for abstaining from meat are directed by canon law, also by local bishops and bishops' conferences. Canon 1251 says that abstinence from meat is to be observed on all Fridays unless a solemnity should fall on a Friday. So it's very clear that we don't have to abstain from meat today. It's not that we have to go out and gorge ourselves on meat either. I mean, we should always live in moderation, even on feast days. But if you so desire to partake of a great feast, including eating meat, then not only is it appropriate, but it's very I think it's worthwhile and dignified in order to honor St. Joseph.
Very good. So as we then get back to the idea of looking at St. Joseph and how he can be that example of finding holiness and growing in holiness in the ordinary, the everyday moments of our life. St. Joseph himself, he was surrounded by really extraordinary people and events. He's got Jesus, his adopted foster son, God incarnate. He's got Mary, conceived without sin. He's got these two sinless people that are there with him for years and years. With the birth of Jesus, the things we know he's there for, we know that the Magi come soon after the birth. That's a pretty remarkable thing, to have people seeking out your child just to give gifts that and you've never met them. Joseph has these dreams that guide him. When they go to present Jesus at the temple, he hears Simeon speak, the words that are said there that prophesy what's to come with this little boy. 12 years later, he witnesses Jesus answering questions to teachers and elders there in the temple, and he sees Jesus with wisdom beyond his years. With all of these different things and so much more that I'm sure was experienced in the life of St. Joseph, how is he an example of finding holiness in ordinary moments when there's such extraordinary events and people around him?
Yes, I think this is a very important aspect of St. Joseph to ponder, Josh, because you just described it very well. St. Joseph experienced some very extraordinary things, including being a witness to the incarnation and to the birth of Jesus, being present throughout these very incredible events of salvation history. But I think we have to make the distinction here, Josh, between how St. Joseph achieved holiness versus what he experienced in his life. In other words, it's true that St. Joseph experienced some rather extraordinary events, things that and nobody else was privileged to experience except for Jesus and Mary. But that's not why he's the greatest saint after our Blessed Mother. In other words, it's not because he was a witness to the birth of Jesus that he finds his greatness, but rather because he fulfilled his duties and the ordinary aspects of his life with great faithfulness. And this is important. You know, some people will have rather extraordinary events that happen to them, and some people will have rather simple, humble lives without much out of the quote-unquote ordinary. And so it's not what happens to us that makes us holy, and it's not what happens to us that will characterize the holiness of our life, but rather how we respond to the basic and ordinary demands of our life. I hope that makes sense, Josh. It's kind of like you were describing, a beautiful, really touching story about your son Joseph just a few minutes ago. And you described how you led your other children during that experience, how you took them to Mass, how you prayed the rosary, how you turned to St. Joseph along with your wife for intercession for your son. Those are not extraordinary things, Josh. Forgive me. That's not an insult, right? That's exactly the ordinary things that you're called to do as a husband. And when I say ordinary, I don't mean mundane. What I mean is the things that are ordained for you to do, to pray for your children, to make sure that you're leading them in holiness. And so that's where we need to find our holiness, in doing what is asked of us in the vocation that God has given to us.
I'm glad you just said that word vocation, because that's exactly where my mind went as you're describing this. Is I know in the past when I was talking with a spiritual director, I was saying, I feel like I should be doing more. You know, I look at Jesus and he talks about the parable of the sheep and the goats. You know, we should be out there and helping those in need. And I have limited time and limited resources just because of the demands of my family and my work and providing and all of these different things. And he said, that's your vocation. That's what you're called to. Don't worry about those other things. There will be opportunities. And when they come, you know, you can deal with them. And right after that conversation, I happened to be reading in the letter of St. James in the New Testament, where he talks about pure, undefiled religion, caring for widows and orphans. And that stuck with me so much because I said, you know, if I'm not there in my role as a father, I essentially make my wife a widow and I make my children orphans by not fulfilling my role as husband and father in that vocation. So, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And how do we come to that point where we're at peace? How have you found that peace in your vocation?
I think by practice, I think by exercise. I was thinking, Josh, about a document, a letter that Pope Francis published. Actually, it was 3 years ago to the day today, Gaudete et Exultate, this beautiful document on holiness that he gave to the church. And he says in Gaudete et Exultate, he says, we are frequently tempted to think that holiness is only for those who can withdraw from ordinary affairs to spend much time in prayer. But that is not the case, he says. We're called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do, wherever we find ourselves. Pope Francis will go on for several paragraphs to talk about this very concept. And I think what's important, Josh, is Part of the problem here is that we have come to believe that holiness is found in doing extraordinary things, say publishing a book or being a famous speaker or accomplishing some work that is recognized by many and very rare and difficult to do. But what the church says is that we're called to find holiness in the exact way that the path that God lays out before us. And I think part of answering your question here, how do we do that, is that we have to eliminate those misconceptions in our mind about holiness, to think that, well, I'm only going to be holy if I can spend 8 hours a day kneeling down in the church, praying in adoration. And since that's never going to happen, I might as well not even try to be a saint. Nobody said that that's what being a saint is, right? The church has never said that that's actually how we're called to be holy. So we have to dismiss those misconceptions about holiness, discover what it actually means to be holy according to my particular state of life, and then practice, work at it, be diligent in being a good father, a good mother, a good priest or religious.
We're talking with Father Matthew Spencer, our spiritual director today here on The Inner Life. He's a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph. And we're talking about St. Joseph, his example of finding holiness, growing in holiness in the ordinary, everyday moments that we experience in our lives. How has St. Joseph been that example for you? How have you been able to grow in your holiness, live out holiness in those everyday moments? You can call us and share how you've experienced that in your own life. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We've got more on the life of St. Joseph and how we can follow his example and grow in holiness right after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, and we're speaking with Father Matthew Spencer, a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph, talking about St. Joseph. Has he been that example for you as you've strove to grow in holiness? Has he had an impact on how you want to live your life? How has St. Joseph been helpful in your faith journey, helping you to get to know Jesus better as an example, as a role model? We'd love to hear how St. Joseph has worked in your life. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And Father Matthew, if anybody wants to actually hear more from you on St. Joseph, you've actually recorded a handful of different reflections for Relevant Radio during this year of St. Joseph, haven't you?
Yes, it's been a real joy to participate in the 19 on the 19th. It's a really great initiative that Father Rocky and the team at Relevant Radio came up with right out of the gate, Josh. I remember, Pope Francis surprised us all on December 8th right. with the year of St. Joseph, and hours, maybe days later, Relevant Radio had a plan in place, including providing a 19-minute reflection on the 19th of every month. And the reason for that is that the Feast of St. Joseph is on the 19th of March today, of course. So yeah, I've been blessed. The last three, including today's, I've been able to share on the seven sorrows and joys of St. Joseph, probably my favorite devotion to St. Joseph. So that's been a real joy.
Very good. So, and in fact, if you go to the Relevant Radio website or the Relevant Radio app, you'll see where there's a button that you can just click on, and if you want to sign up for those, you can have access to the past talks that Father Matthew has done, and we'll send you a free booklet on the year of St. Joseph with different prayers and different devotions surrounding St. Joseph, and you'll get those 19-minute talks on the 19th of every month. You'll have an email that's sent to you just to remind you, hey, it's available right now. So again, just go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, and you can sign up for that. Again, talking about St. Joseph today, and our phone number, 888-914-9149. And Father, as I was thinking about St. Joseph, one of the things that came to mind is one of our family's favorite movies. It's The Princess Bride. And in that
one of
movie,
mine too.
Yeah, yeah, right. Why wouldn't anybody like it? It's inconceivable,
yeah, of course.
Right? Sorry.
Are we going to start quoting it?
I know. We won't. But in that movie, at the beginning, as you're just learning about the characters, you've got a young man and a young woman, and the young man is Wesley, and the young woman is Buttercup. And they're out on some sort of farm, and Buttercup, every time she gives a task or asks Wesley to do something, he only responds with one phrase, "as you wish." And this really kind of reminded me of St. Joseph, because we don't have actually any words recorded in Scripture that St. Joseph ever spoke. But in the movie, as he keeps on doing these different chores or different tasks that Buttercup asks Wesley to do, one day she finally realizes, when he says, "as you wish," that every time those words are spoken, he's really actually saying, "I love you." And that was the thing that kind of struck me as I was thinking about St. Joseph this morning. He's just quietly doing whatever he needs to do, whatever Mary and Jesus need done, protecting them, providing for them. And his silent actions are his way of continually saying, "I love you."
You know, this is so important in the Christian life, because we know that the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are central to our life. But what we sometimes forget about is all three of these virtues demand obedience. To be a person of great love means I'm going to be a person of obedience. And I was reflecting last night with a group at a parish mission. We were talking about how we can see in the life of St. Joseph, not so much the affection that he has for Mary, although he certainly did, not so much the tenderness that he would show towards the Christ child, although certainly he did. What we see principally in Scripture in the life of St. Joseph is obedience. Obedience to the law, obedience to the demands of his vocation, essentially, if you'll forgive me, essentially saying, "as you wish," right, to God at every moment. And it's that obedience that is an expression of his love. It's an expression of charity in the life of St. Joseph. So yeah, I think it's a good analogy, parallel, right? The more obedient we are, whether it's to our spouse or to the demands of our vocation, whether it's to God and his law, it's an expression of love.
And sometimes that obedience can be a very difficult thing.
It very much can. I mean, we've seen this in the times in which we live. We're being asked to do things that are hard for us, mm-hmm. either by our church, by the state, by our loved ones. We're being asked to do things that are very hard. And we have to learn obedience through times like this. Obedience to lawful and legitimate authority. Obedience certainly to the law of God. This happens in humility, right? This happens in trust for God's plan. You know, if I could return to your example of the Princess Bride, I mean, it's interesting how Wesley kind of wins over Buttercup by his very humble obedience, right? She's kind of arrogant and prideful and demanding, and she keeps asking him to do things that are rather, you know, out of demeaning. Yeah, thank
right.
you. Yeah, and it's his response in humility that essentially breaks through that shell that she's created around herself and discovers true love. And I think the same thing happens with us too. The more humble we are in our obedience, the more careful to be patient and compassionate and kind and not respond in a demeaning way to demeaning behavior towards us, then it leads to breakdown of barriers and deeper relationships with each other and also with God.
And it also helps to lift up those people who might have that demeaning kind of attitude towards you. If you always approach them in love, it's going to do one of two things. It'll either change their attitude to where they are raised up, or it'll drive them crazy because they can't get to you.
You know, I learned this, Josh, interestingly enough. I learned this very, very deeply while I was on the air, right? When I was doing a little program on Relevant Radio a couple years ago, because you'd get a lot of different types of email, a lot of people who really love to listen to you, and a lot of people who will share their, you know, be very frank with their mind and their criticisms and their complaints. And I learned by practice that the best way to win over those who were maybe inconsiderate or unfair in their criticism and judgment was to respond in kindness and in charity. And that it does. It kind of melts people's hearts when they're ready for it. And right. As you point out, sometimes they're not, but that's okay. In God's time, that will happen too.
Right, right. Well, and our responsibility is just to try and be loving and charitable and, bring Christ to those around us as best as we can. We're talking with Father Matthew Spencer, a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph today, on the example that St. Joseph can be for us and looking in those ordinary moments, living out our life in ordinary ways, but how we can find holiness in those moments. And you can give us a call at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Father, let's go to the phones. We've got Teresa who's listening in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Praise the Lord and God bless you. And wow, as you wish. That's my new vocabulary. Okay, my issue was in 2019. My sister had just passed, and it was an extremely sad time for me because I was alienated from one of my sons for over 6 months. And it was St. Joseph's feast day, and a friend and I, Joseph, went out to lunch, and then we went back to church. We did the Divine Mercy, and then in the prayer petition book, I specifically asked St. Joseph to heal our family. And would you believe, around 5 p.m. that day, my son had texted me, come to my home, I'll be leaving, and we want to have a, you know, final family reunion. And I just know it's St. Joseph. Also, I'm widowed, and I have to do a lot of man things around my home. And when I have, and this is within the last year, since I've asked St. Joseph to help me with my man projects, things have gotten much easier. So I am absolutely a devotee to St. Joseph.
All right, Teresa, I love those examples. First of all, turning to St. Joseph in your needs around the house, and he can help us in those simple ways. But I really love, Teresa, that there are a lot of miracles we ask for from God, right? We ask for miracles in the healing of our loved ones. We ask for miracles in resolving complicated and difficult situations. But perhaps the most troubling and also the most difficult situations in our life are the relationship issues, right? When we don't get along with our family, when there is division, and sometimes it can seem impossible to resolve. Sometimes it can seem impossible for us to untangle. And I love this example of turning to St. Joseph in our desire for healing relationships, for restoring communication, and for healing the hurts maybe that have happened in the past. Because St. Joseph was no stranger to relationships, right? St. Joseph, in his closeness to our Blessed Mother and to Jesus, was an expert in communication and in self-giving and in living those relationships well. So, Teresa, thanks so much. I think that's a beautiful reminder to all of us that we can turn to St. Joseph in our need for our relationships as well as the many other aspects of our lives.
Has St. Joseph helped you in a relationship, helped you in a tough time? That's what we're talking about today here on The Inner Life with Father Matthew Spencer, our spiritual director. And you can give us a call and share how St. Joseph has worked in your life, how he's been that example for you of growing in holiness, of growing closer to Christ. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We've got more on St. Joseph and living out holiness in those ordinary moments coming up next here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show, or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Spencer, a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph. And we're talking about St. Joseph on this Solemnity of St. Joseph, and talking about how we can look at the example of St. Joseph to grow in our holiness just in the ordinary, everyday moments of our life. And, Father, one of the things that really struck me as I was thinking about St. Joseph, it reminded me of another father of the faith, Abraham, in the Old Testament. And when God told Abraham to go, Abraham just simply got up and went. And we even see him then referenced in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament as this beautiful example of faith. And Joseph seems to do the exact same thing. If God speaks to him in a dream and tells him to take Mary as his wife, he does that. If he says, move to Egypt, if he says, you know, the coast is clear now, you can move back to Nazareth, Joseph just does. He doesn't have to be told a second or a third time. He doesn't have the hesitation maybe that we see with somebody like Moses, where Moses keeps on trying to make all these excuses. Joseph just does whatever God tells him. Abraham did the same thing. They have this amazing faith in following God's leading. How can we work to strengthen our faith in that same way? So whenever God tells us go, whenever we get that message, we don't hesitate. We don't have to have God tell us a second or third time. We don't make excuses. We just go. How can we build our faith to be that same sort of Abraham and St. Joseph kind of faith?
Yes, I think we should read the paragraph 144 of the Catechism. Because paragraph 144 discusses, first of all, that Abraham is a model of obedience, that the Virgin Mary is the perfect embodiment of obedience. But the Catechism makes this really interesting observation that the word obey, the roots of this word come from the Latin ob audire, which is to hear or to listen to. So to obey first demands that we hear and listen to, and we know what we're supposed to do, right? Abraham was a man of faith and of obedience because first he listened to God and knew what was being asked of him. Mary was obedient to God because she was able to listen, and she wasn't consumed with her own thoughts or her own direction in life. And St. Joseph witnesses to the same quality of obedience and listening. That is to say, he's receptive to God's will, and he pays attention to what God asks of him in dreams as well as through the normal course of his day and through the law and through the observances that he has to follow. So I think, Josh, this is fundamental for us as Christians today. If we're going to be obedient, and if we're going to be people of faith, by the way, these two ideas are very much related, as charity and obedience are related. Faith and obedience are very intimately connected. What it means is we have to listen, right? We have to listen to what God is asking of us. We have to listen to what God desires of us. So often, Josh, we're consumed with what we want to hear and what we want to listen to. We fill our minds and our ears with noise and things of the world, and we're not actually listening to God. Well, if we're going to be obedient and if we're going to be people of faith, we have to take time to listen to God. And that listening hopefully will bear fruit in obedience, in us following the law, following the laws of the church, the laws of Christ, and certainly following the laws of our conscience well formed. So I think that's kind of the root of it and the heart of it. Yes, we look to Abraham as a model of obedience and faith, but he was such because of his listening. And likewise with Mary and Joseph.
We're talking about St. Joseph and how he can be that example that we grow in holiness, how he's worked in our lives. And Father, let's go to the phones again. We've got Yolanda, who's listening to Relevant Radio in Illinois. Hi, Yolanda. Welcome to The Inner Life. How has St. Joseph been a help, a resource in your own life?
God bless you for doing this show on St. Joseph. I was actually praying if I should call or not, and I asked St. Joseph to help me. Well, actually, it's a really marvelous story for St. Joseph, because he's our great saint. In our family, we venerate him all the time. We always pray to Saint Joseph. He actually interceded with my husband. He was praying for a good wife when he couldn't find one. He heard a story that St. Joseph, being a simple and a carpenter, he liked receiving messages that are drawn. He didn't like to read, so he just liked stuff drawn. So he drew a family of wife and five kids. And lo and behold, he found me. And we have five kids, and he put actually the message for St. Joseph under a statue in the chapel. And since then, he whenever we have any kind of trouble, any kind of issues in the family, we always, you know, draw a little picture and put it under the statue of St. Joseph in wherever we are, in chapels and churches, and St. Joseph has always interceded for us. Instance was, I was telling a story of how my husband found a good wife to a friend, and she says, well, I love St. Joseph also. And she says, well, he's been always interceding for me. And at that time, I was praying for a job and him being taking care of the family. He actually found me a job because a couple of days later, after we talked with a friend, she says, well, you know what? There's people that are looking for a nurse, and here and there is the, you know, information. So St. Joseph found me a job. So he's been a great intercessor in our family.
That's beautiful, Yolanda, touching on different aspects of St. Joseph. First of all, St. Joseph and his connection to labor and to work. Certainly when we need employment, when we need work ourselves, we turn to St. Joseph the worker, whom we especially venerate on May 1st. But also I love this idea of turning to St. Joseph to help us in our vocation, to discover the spouse that God intends for us. And not only to find that spouse, but then to live our lives in imitation of the holy spouses, of Mary and Joseph. What a perfect example, Yolanda, for you and your husband to look to, not only to find each other, not only to become engaged and eventually to be married, but throughout your marriage, to look to Joseph and Mary and to learn from their own tenderness towards each other, their own self-gift of each other to the other, and to learn what it really means to be an authentic spouse in imitation of the holy spouses. So thank you, Yolanda. I really hope that many of our listeners will heed your example and say, well, I need some help finding my vocation or living my vocation. Well, I'm going to turn to St. Joseph so that he can help me to do that.
Well, and Father, right as Yolanda was talking, an email came in from Pamela, and she said, hey, I just want to share that I met my husband, Steve. Before I met him, I was in and out of relationships, and I decided to let God work in my life. It was also then that I turned to St. Joseph and prayed for a husband. After a few months, I met my husband, Steve, and St. Joseph didn't just help me find my own Joseph, but gave me a real Joseph because our last name is Joseph. So she's married to Steve, but it's Pamela and Steve Joseph. So she actually had that prayer answered in an even more direct way.
Incredible, yeah. And, you know, that's also a beautiful example, Josh. I feel like it would be important for me to say, I was praying to St. Joseph to find me a spouse, and I ended up with the one of the greatest spouses you can even imagine, the church, right? So it's funny, when we open ourselves up to St. Joseph, sometimes the answer to our prayers will be rather surprising. For me, it led me to religious life and the priesthood, but I think we can't go wrong turning to Joseph and asking him for help in our vocation.
So let me ask another question as we turn to Joseph. You know, we're talking about, you know, a couple of different women who have prayed for a spouse, and that prayer has been answered. When we look at Jesus there on the cross, and there at the foot of the cross, we have the mother of Jesus, Mary, and Jesus speaks to her those words, "Behold your mother." And we can look at these as being spoken directly to John, the apostle that's there. Behold your mother, take care of my mother because I won't be here to take care of her any longer. But we also have had so many of the different church fathers and teachers through the faith that say this is also Jesus giving his mother Mary as mother of the church. In a similar way, should we look to St. Joseph as our foster father in the faith?
Well, Pius IX certainly saw in St. Joseph this example and model for the entire church. So Pius IX would declare St. Joseph in 1870, would declare St. Joseph patron of the universal church, which is not just an abstract idea that's for the institution of the church. It's for the whole body of Christ, including all the parts of the body of Christ, you and me, Josh, to be able to say, we can look to St. Joseph as the earthly father of Jesus. We can see how he cared for Mary and Joseph, and we can entrust ourselves to him too. You know, there's this beautiful typology in Scripture. Joseph of Egypt was sold into slavery, ended up becoming the steward of all of Pharaoh's reign, was entrusted with all the possessions of Pharaoh's reign. Well, Joseph, Saint Joseph of Nazareth, is the fulfillment of that. And as Joseph of Egypt was entrusted with all the whole kingdom of Pharaoh, Saint Joseph is entrusted with the whole of the church. And so he does care for us. He wants to care for us. And that's part of his role and his vocation now from God. So yeah, I certainly think as we turn to Mary as our own mother, we also turn to Saint Joseph as our protector and our guardian, leading us to our eternal Father in heaven.
We're down to just the last couple minutes here, but one other thing that I thought would be important to talk about. We have a second feast of St. Joseph that'll be coming up in a couple months on May 1st. It's St. Joseph the Worker. And what does that title key us into when we talk about St. Joseph? We've been talking a lot about obedience and acts of service here, but finding holiness just in our work, what can St. Joseph show us in that regard?
I think it's important to remember that work is not an end in and of itself. And we forget this. You know, we find ourselves consumed with our work. We find ourselves finding our value in our work, sometimes even thinking that if I don't have a job, if I'm not able to hold down a job the way that I would like to, then somehow my intrinsic worth diminishes, which is not true, right? That's not true. Our worth comes from being a beloved son or daughter of God. Work itself is an expression of what God has commissioned all of us to do, to build up the kingdom and to have dominion over the earth, to cultivate it and make it fruitful. And so work itself needs to always point to our relationship with God and not become, we can't become slaves to our work, which I see as a real problem inside of 21st century society and in particular inside of our own American context. It's easy for us to imagine that work itself is where our value is found. But as Christians, we say, well, work is very valuable and work is transformative for each of us. But work is just a means to an end of us to build up the kingdom and build a relationship with God. And so I think we can all improve in that area of understanding how we relate to our work better.
All right. And so then finally, as we're here at the end of the show, if somebody's listening and says, well, I haven't had really that devotion to St. Joseph, I really haven't done, how could they start today? How could they celebrate the solemnity of St. Joseph and make it a special day and start that devotion? What's a good first place to go?
Well, if it's possible to get to Mass, that's certainly a great start to observe this year of St. Joseph with the most important prayer that we have as a church. I would say the Relevant Radio app has great resources to begin prayerful devotions also to St. Joseph. If maybe our listeners have received the Relevant Radio booklet for the year of St. Joseph, that's very helpful. So lots of resources to cultivate our personal devotion.
Again, you can find more of those at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And Father Matthew, as we're down to the last 20 seconds here, can I ask you to give all of our listeners a final blessing?
Absolutely. Lord, look upon your faithful on this feast of St. Joseph and grant them all the virtues that the earthly Father of Jesus demonstrates. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Matthew Spencer, our spiritual director here on The Inner Life today, thank you for your time. And thank you for listening. And again, if you want to sign up for those 19 on the 19th Reflections from Father Matthew, go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app and sign up there. And coming up, we've got Mass with Father Rocky celebrating. That's in just a few moments here. And hope you'll join us on Monday on The Inner Life. We'll see you then.